Happy hour! Ah, yes. Cocktail service has begun as we are putting up the lawn chairs next to the pool. Well, the Taco Bell weather puddle, which is disintegrating before our eyes on a lavishly sunny afternoon here in downtown Bloomington. Terry Stultz is fresh on the scene from the outdoors. Is it as lovely as it looks here from high atop One City Center?
Yeah, nice breeze, just enough to furrow the flag a little bit. fluffy clouds, as Keith described earlier. And
how's the humidity? That's a key.
It's not bad.
Good.
It's higher. I mean, my car says 88. I think the WGCO weather line says 87 or 88, and it pretty much feels that way.
Perfect. Humidity is at 38%, so that's
I'm surprised
news.
It's not a little higher, but the breeze is great. I mean, if you don't enjoy this, you just don't like sun and you don't like warm weather.
And the North Pole will soon be open for, well, it's always open if you'd like it to cool off a bit. It's nice to have some normal days where we're not sitting here talking about heat index and all the other gross things that go along with this. This is day five in a row in the 80s after a nice run of 90s. So if we can keep it mixed like that, I think it's a little bit easier on the soul because, as Chuck Lofton told us last Thursday, you didn't want 58 days in the 90s like you had in 1983.
No.
That's when enough, my friends. Is enough. So 88 this afternoon, that's as warm as we might get. We shouldn't go any warmer. At least the forecast doesn't look that way. 92 and 73 on Wednesday comes with a chance really late on Wednesday, or we can call it really early on Thursday. 88 and 68 on Thursday comes with a better chance of early morning thunderstorms, but only as good a chance as 60%. Friday, 92 and 72 with a 40% chance. And then the City Golf Tournament, the 92nd edition of the Bloomington City Golf Tournament. Saturday, as I believe that's the semifinals, correct?
Yes.
92 is your high, 74. Only a 40% chance where we do need rain. We don't need it to wash out the golf tournament. And then Sunday, that'll be the championship 36-hole finals. We're going to see who's 94 and 74. Luckily, the humidity, though, is only 60% on Sunday, so that's bearable. It's not going to be some kind of heat alert deal where they tell you don't go outside and do anything crazy like that. As we showed you last week on Tuesday, what the weather could be on the weekend can be markedly different than what it remember last week we talked about it was going to be the mid-90s all weekend? Didn't come to any of that. We stayed in the 80s and were fantastic.
Well, I tell you what, it was not any fun driving through the monsoon on 465 on the way to Anderson Saturday.
Going up through it or coming back with it?
No. It was way gone. It was going up there. I have never driven. Okay, I'll put it this way. Here's how hard it was raining. Everyone on 465 east was going under 40 miles an hour.
Yeah, because you couldn't see, right?
Couldn't see.
That's the problem.
And it, okay, smart job by everybody on the road, because we were cooking along, as you can, on 465, and suddenly, I mean, it just got worse and worse. You could look up and just see the sheets coming. And by the time we got to Anderson, to the little party we went to, it was 66 degrees up there.
And perfect.
I don't think it was perfect by any means. I got a little chilled, but yeah, it was quite a bit of rain, and then we did get some down here. I mean, we needed it. It's all right.
The good news was we did get rain, and we had almost 2 inches on the weekend, so
yeah.
Which is great. It gives us almost 2.5 for the month. We get 4.5, so we still need to find a little bit more, and we will as the month rolls on. But if you look at next week, we've got more chances over 50% of rain than we don't have, so we'll need to pay attention. And again, a couple this weekend could have the have a little energy behind them. So follow along at WGCLradio.com. We're here to talk some sports on a Tuesday afternoon. And as the Victor Oladipo turns every other day, T, it seems like we get some new information about what Vic is thinking or he isn't thinking. And our friend Shams has been following the story or has been fed the story. I'm not sure whichever one. It doesn't matter. But the rumor is now that Victor Oladipo is down in Orlando and is working out. What is it? Peer pressure? Is it feels better than he thought? Is it false hope? We have so many options to this question. I don't know where to start, so I'll throw the ball to you in the assist role, and you need to knock down the shot.
Well, that's as I usually do. But no, what he should have done is kept his big mouth shut a week or two ago, do what he told us he was going to do. Let me get down there. Let me see how it feels to get back playing 5-on-5 and going full court, because there was none of that in this little training sessions up in Indy. Let me get up there. Let me get down there and see how I feel. And as you and I talked about Friday, had he done that, goes through a week of this practices and says, guys, I don't have it. I'd rather be around for y'all next year. Nobody would have said a word. You know,
I think his play would have been obvious.
Yeah.
If you go out there and scrimmage and you play 5-on-5, it shouldn't take more than 2 minutes to figure out whether you're ready to play in the NBA playoffs or not.
Yeah, and the thing is, I think he made himself – this is a bright young man, a star, a guy that, you know, as I said, before I call him a fraud, I want to believe in him and what he does. But what he did was make a mistake, and he made himself look stupid with the earlier announcement before he even set foot and played full court against his teammates. Maybe somebody got in his head and told him that. Maybe he thought, you know what, I really messed up, and let's see how I feel. I'm on the roster. It's like you had asked me, can he play? Well, he's on the roster. They're not taking him off the roster. So I hope he does. I hope he feels like playing and gets out there. It seems like all the rest of the Pacers are completely healthy. I'm glad to hear it. I just wish in a PR world, he should have left well enough alone until he got there.
That's the interesting part, because he has chosen not to use PR. He's chosen to do it himself and put the messages out, which, hey, it's America. You can do anything you want. But this is why these situations perhaps sometimes come up, because if you do have a PR department or somebody that handles it, they'll say, now, if you do this, we're going to have to deal with dot, 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 and dot. And if you don't do it, now we can do this, this, and this. There's probably never a right answer, but there's probably some less bad choices you can make. And here's the thing. If Oladipo goes out and plays and the Pacers play and he does Oladipo normal things, no one's going to remember this.
Right.
What's going to happen is if we keep going, we're playing, we're not playing, we're playing, we're not playing, we're not playing, and then we get to we're not playing, and it's a circus, and the Pacers are distracted, and then they fall apart in this, whatever this is going to be down in Orlando on August 1st right here on WGCL. And if it affects the way they play, then you got a situation that we talked about last Friday of why did we need to get in that situation.
Yeah.
So this is an interesting situation of situations, because, number one, you've got the COVID deal. That's making everybody crazy. Number two, you have a system that the NBA is going to use in this playoff that only has X amount of teams. You got to live in the bubble. You got to do this. So that's making everybody crazy. And then throw on top of it, is August 1st going to happen? Because it seems like every day we have another guy or two or three get tested and come up positive with it. So you throw all that together. And I'm just worn out talking about it every day. But what these guys get paid to do is what? It's not hard. Basketball. That is their lifeblood. That is what it is. And it's almost like poker. You can watch it on TV for a little bit, and then you want to start playing because you think you're good at it. Well, here's Shams.
Tarania.
Thank you. That's Kyle.
Ned and Rips.
Brother.
yes.
Oladipo has been fully participating in 5-on-5 scrimmages in Orlando, and there's now optimism around his playing status, sources say. Well, you know the Pacers can only have X amount of people down here, so I don't know how many sources are in the Pacer practice every day inside the bubble.
Yeah, because Shams is not watching practice.
I don't believe he is.
Those guys are not allowed anywhere near him until there's a basketball game.
And there is growing belief, he went on to tweet, the Pacers star Victor Oladipo will attempt to play in the NBA's restarted season after multiple strong team practices in Orlando. There you go. That's your fresh from the bubble sources. So if you believe Shams, and I think we all do, what happened to our boy Woj? We'll talk about that in a minute.
Woj is going through a little personal trauma right now.
Well, just two words will get you 2 weeks.
Yeah,
that's how that happens. I don't think he's wrong per se, but you can't put your ESPN email on it.
Pick your battles. That wasn't a good battle.
But again, it's freedom of speech, and there's consequences with that sometimes. Anywho, so Shams is hearing this from someone who is involved with the Pacers. I don't think this is someone who is talking to Oladipo, because it doesn't word like a superstar would put it. No superstar would be using words like growing belief and strong team practices.
It sounds like David Benner to me.
You would hear something to the fact that Oladipo had 29 in a closed door scrimmage if it came from the player. That's a player tweet.
Yeah.
All the rest of this. So is this good news or bad news? Well, it's both. It's bad news if he doesn't play, and it's good news if he does play, because he's moving in the right direction. But there's always a but in these stories, aren't there? Did you read Brian Windhorst today, ESPN?
No, I did not.
Brian Windhorst reports, this was at lunchtime as well, Victor Oladipo's $3 million in remaining salary in dispute, sources say. Why is it in dispute? Well, if you don't play, you don't get paid. Now that we have your undivided attention at $3 million, maybe all of a sudden practice doesn't sound like such a bad idea. Maybe all of a sudden playing in games. But here's the rub, and I'll read this Windhorst story to you in a moment, but this is the interesting part of all this. If the rub is, I don't want to screw this up for down the road to hurt my max contract down the road, what's he care about $3 million if he's going to get paid $250 down the road? So this all gets thrown into the blender and spun around. But you know what I'm saying?
I thought that anybody who opted out for any reason would get their full paycheck.
Indiana Pacers star Victor Oladipo is in an unresolved situation regarding $3 million in salary, multiple sources told ESPN. More multiple sources. Under the rules the NBA established for its season restart in Orlando, players who were healthy but opted not to play would have to forego their remaining salary for the season. I'll say it again. Players who were healthy but opted not to play, that would be someone like who's the guy staying home because he has this kid all summer. He's not going to get paid.
Trevor Ariza was he's one of the ones that wasn't going down.
There you go.
For that reason.
So he's not going to get what's left on his contract for the rest
There's
of the year.
There's a couple of others that come to mind. That might have not been who you had in mind, but
no.
He is one.
Somebody was staying home because they had older people in their household that they were taking care of and didn't want to leave. But they're not going to get paid because they're healthy and aren't going to do that. So all of a sudden, now Victor surely had to know this moving forward, you would think.
Well, had Victor sat down with Kevin Pritchard, Nate McMillan, and, of course, the aforementioned David Benner, their PR guy, I'm sure they could have made sure that he understood, why don't you not say anything until we get to Florida? And here's one of the reasons you shouldn't say a word, because you were considered healthy when we went to the break.
He's played 27 minutes or 27 points.
So you don't want to play now? You haven't been injured in 3 months.
You've been training well?
So
your words?
Let's just wait and see how we go about this so we can make sure to keep paying you.
Windhorst goes on to write, 2 weeks ago in an interview with The Athletic, Oladipo said he was healthy but decided not to play to ensure recovery from his quad tendon tear in January of 2019. In days since, lawyers from the Players Union and NBA have reviewed the situation, and there is dispute regarding Oladipo's situation. The union believes Oladipo, who went to Orlando with the Pacers and then cleared quarantine so he could practice, should be paid his remaining salary, sources said. The league, largely in an effort to set a precedent in the case of the players who are deemed healthy and want to leave Orlando and no longer play, believes Oladipo has opted out and should not be paid, sources said. His public comments about feeling healthy has only solidified the league's position on the matter,
yep.
The league said.
That's why you get your PR guys involved.
The Pacers support Oladipo's decision and are willing to pay his salary whether he plays or not, sources said. Now, the Pacers might not have any say in that. I don't know how this works. I'm not a collectively bargained lawyer. But the Pacers aren't going to say anything that is negative towards Oladipo because they want to re-sign him.
Of course they do.
And have his bird rights. And if Victor Oladipo, according to Victor Oladipo, wants to be paid the most money possible, well, that's simple for me. That's your bird rights, right?
Yeah.
Tweet, tweet. Maybe you shouldn't tweet. Meanwhile, the report goes on to say, amid the ongoing debate, Oladipo has been impressive in practices and has now indicated to the team that he might reconsider his decision. But that's neither here nor there if he already believes that. I don't know what he says determines anything. It's the actions of what the collective bargained agreement is of what qualifies as being healthy.
Mm-hmm. This will play. We'll see how this plays out.
You want to hear Nate's remarks?
Oh, of course. If you've got them right in front
of
you.
Right in front of me. We are not approaching it as if he's not playing. We are putting him out there. There are no restrictions for Vic. He's been going hard. McMillan said that earlier this week. Well, today's Tuesday, so I would guess that would be Monday, unless you consider Sunday the first day of the week. After missing 12 months, Oladipo returned to play 13 games before his season was halted. But he was showing signs of heating up. Blah, 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 blah. We know all that because we follow it. Oladipo has 1 year and $21 million remaining on his contract. He is eligible to sign an extension with the Pacers after the season. In the event he gets traded, he could extend his contract as part of the deal. Nothing in there about the bird stuff. I don't know. If you sign an extension, does the bird rights cover you there? I'm not sure how that works.
I'm not either.
So I'm guessing if there was an extension that would have benefited Oladipo, it would have been signed already. My guess is you have to get to a certain part, and I apologize for guessing on the air. That sounds terrible. But you don't deal with a lot of bird extensions in Indiana. You want to go ahead and name one? Yeah, exactly. Reggie Miller get one back in the day?
Danny Granger, maybe. Maybe.
That's
there are a few. You are correct.
We don't deal with a lot of that here in Pacer Town, and maybe that's the reason why. So the good news is he's practicing. The good news is Nate says there's no restrictions and he's going hard. Well, if he's going hard and practicing, why would you do all that and not play?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Well, we have until August 1st, correct? And today's the 14th. So that tells me we've got 2.5 or so weeks to get this figured out. When do they start playing these exhibition practice
games?
Their
first game is the 23rd.
That's the preseason or whatever we're calling it.
No. That is a practice game.
Okay.
You want to call it preseason.
Yes.
That's fine.
Let's do that to
June 23rd.
July 23rd.
July 23rd, I'm sorry.
So August 1st is the regular season.
That's the first game.
Okay, great. So the practice games will lead up to that, just like they would in any sport. You want to ramp up and get ready to go before you start playing. Because they're 5-on-5 games that you run in practice, Teeth. They're not playing 48 minutes.
No, oh no. So you got July 23rd, the 26th, and the 28th are the three preseason games before the resumption of this year's NBA season.
So if you're Oladipo and you're going at it 5-on-5 hard and your coach says there's no restrictions and you said you feel great and you're thinking about how everything's going on, the next step in this process will be getting through the practice part of it and then first practice game, that what'd you say, the 23rd?
Yes.
That's a week from Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
The spotlight is on. So if he plays in these games, half of them, how many did you say, four or three?
There are three.
Three. So he's going to play in what? The first one, it's going to be like the NFL playoffs. You play the first one a little bit, and then the second one if you need it, third one. Or maybe he plays all three of them. What's the clue that's going to tell you he's going to play? Is it that first practice game? Or is it going to be August 1st when we flip the switch on WGCL? When do you think Victor is going to have his final say on whether he's going to get on the court or not?
Yeah, that's a good question. It may be after all three of them are over. then he's got a few days to decide. And there are games before the Pacers game. There are games on. The Pacers are one either the 30th or the 31st. The league resumes. They may make everybody, by the time the first ball drops or tips, everybody may have to have their roster. He may have to make a decision if he's playing or not by then. I don't know. It will be interesting.
It is interesting, and that's for sure, because here's why it's interesting. The chance of him playing is a lot more interesting than him sitting on the sideline and not participating at all. Him going down there, I didn't understand that. Why would he leave his own bubble to be trapped in Orlando? Well, if you read between the lines, because that's the only way you can play in practice. He's not going to stay home and practice.
No.
So here's the good news. The good news is there's hope. The bad news is the hope can be taken away in one fell swoop. And forget about the injury. I'm not going to sit here and talk about what if. You can't do that. You can do that with any player of any game of any season. And it's just a colossal, colossal waste of time. Guys get hurt every day they play. We get it. It's part of the risk. It's why contracts are guaranteed. But not playing and playing from a fan standpoint, that's what I'm interested in. I don't see him going from Indianapolis to Orlando to live in these meager conditions that everybody's tweeting about if he's not going to play. And if Victor wants attention, great. I don't care. I'm a basketball fan. This isn't Days of Our Lives. We have our own soap opera. It weaves throughout the season, the rhythm of the season, and this is part of the soap opera, which I don't care about. Victor Oladipo can paint his hair rainbow colors, and he can wear the costume he wore on, what is that show he was on?
Yeah.
The Masked Singer.
Masked Singer.
He can wear that to the arena and back, and he can cut music videos, and if he gets 25 a night for the Pacers, I don't care. I don't care. What I do care about is the Pacers without Oladipo, let's be fair, aren't going to beat anybody. Not in the top four in the East, at least.
No.
They're going to win if they play perhaps the 5 seed. That's fine. But once you get into the conference semifinals,
oh yeah,
and if you don't have Oladipo and you're going up against who the Celtics have and Giannis and Middleton at the Bucks and everybody else. And
Miami.
And Philadelphia.
Philadelphia.
Right. You need to have all your weapons. So if this galvanizes the Pacers, great. I don't think it's going to fracture them. I don't ever think having one of your best players come back, if not your best player coming back, T, if you bring him back, I don't think that deflates the balloon, does it? I think that makes everybody on that bench and locker room say, oh, right.
Yeah.
We came down here with the purpose. We thought before all the soap opera happened, we're going to be pretty good. We're healthy. Turner's ready to go.
Yeah.
Brogdon's not hurt. Vic's training great, he tells us. Pacers had to be fired up. Holiday's going to play.
Yeah.
No bumps in the road here, T. The only bump in the road here is this cacophony in the air.
Yeah. What's
guys don't care about that.
No, they really don't. And when we get back from a break, you talk about meager existence. We'll talk about what Miles Turner had to say this afternoon on Twitter.
Good. It's always good to hear from Miles. Why? Because he's got his head screwed on really tight. He's a very sharp, sharp thinker. He's a very, very he's getting better at basketball. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
But from the human being side of things, you never had one worry about Miles Turner when he walked in the door, and he'd keep showing you why. But now, T, he's getting ready to hoop, and he's healthy, and Sabonis is healthy, and that combination has proved powerful. Leading up to, well, it seemed like 100 years ago when we played basketball games.
Yeah.
But that's the good news moving forward. The Pacers get these pieces together. I'm fine with the noise because here's the arena. I'm showing you the arena with my hands. And it's like the old days at the state fairgrounds. When you looked at the pictures, you saw that smoke hovering?
Yes.
That's what this is. Underneath the smoke, the guys on the floor don't care. They don't care. All those guys are playing for the next contract. All those guys are playing for a championship. They don't care about what ESPN reports. Because if they're playing with Victor every day, or they train with Victor in Indy, it's pretty simple, T. Hey, man, you look great. You're killing it. Yeah, I know. Let's keep playing. Right. That's it. It's not like your wife or your girlfriend would have to, you have to explain everything. They just play ball. And then let the media, since there are no games to talk about, you throw them some chum, that's us, and we just chew it up because we got no games to talk about. So the players do not care, in my opinion, because they know they're going nowhere deep without Oladipo. That's where we stand. We'll hear from T and Miles Turner and the TBT. That's a lot of T's in there, T.
Oh, man.
And we'll also get covered on all the things. And speaking of T's, T, the large cat T is back this week at Jack's Place at Memorial. We'll throw all these things in and make sure we hit all the headlines, and we'll do that next. 5:34, happy hour Tuesday, gorgeous summer afternoon. I'm in charge of the grill, I'm told, tonight, T, so I think it's going to be pork chops. I haven't done the old pork. The chop version, did some ribs, but we haven't done pork chops in a while, so that's going to be tonight.
That sounds good. I've been told there's a steak in my future that I have to grill out here soon. We haven't established that day yet, but we'll see how it goes.
The Kroger Meat Extravaganza over the 4th of July, we pulled some ribeyes out of there that were quite tasty, and we've been trying to run those out. So it sounds like pork chops tonight. Do a little sweating out there. That's fine. As I complain always, my backyard faces west. That's gets a little toasty out there. I needed about another 50 years for the trees that I have. My neighbor has, rather. They're a lot better than they were 15 years ago, yeah, let me tell you that.
Yeah, they are. But, hey, you know, there's one thing. You will not be firing up the fire pit tonight.
No, I had that on Sunday night when it got down to 61. It was nice on Sunday. Had little sweats going on. Oh, baby.
Wow.
And I'm all cut up and ripped up from carrying all that. We'll tough it out, though. That's Terry. I'm Glass. It's happy hour. Thank you for being with us. What big headlines are we paying attention to today? It's actually been pretty quiet, which isn't terribly surprising, because Monday is always a heavy-hitting day because of answers to questions and everything else. Tom Allen met with the media this morning, did a little zoom, 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 and nothing that would surprise you from that press conference in the sense of numbers or planning or anything else. You just got to – his motto was 6 months ago, we don't blink, and they're not going to blink. They're getting ready for a football season. And where they are in the calendar right now is where they are in the calendar, and they're keeping it spaced, and they're talking about hanging with your cohorts off the field, being responsible. They have a big meeting on Friday before the weekend hits, saying be responsible, think of your teammates, think of your cohorts. And but again, he said they can't hold their hands 25 hours a day and 9 days a week. It doesn't happen that way. And he was pressed by an Indy reporter on the numbers of COVID, and he was very simple. He said, our department's had 299 tests, and 295 have come back negative. And so, but they wanted to know how many football players it was. And, okay, he said yes, there was a football player, or there was part of the football program in that number. But if you say 50% of the tests well, that's 2 out of 4.
Yeah.
So you're not going to – he didn't get trapped into that answer, but he did say yes. Well, here's the other reason why. They're only one of how many programs are back, and they have the most players. So it, just from a math standpoint,
exactly,
it makes sense.
Common sense has pretty much fallen off the face of the earth.
The second time he said yes. There. We're not going to go into details, but there has been. There's 4 positive tests. So now you've got your pound of flesh, and we move on, for crying out loud. Gee whiz. What else is making news that we need to pay attention to today that I had for you? We are watching student-athlete testing. The good news is Michigan State tested 74 student-athletes on July 6th. All of those tested negative. The reason that's important, if we're going to play conference games only in any sport, T, we need to follow what the Big Ten's doing, whether it's baseball or soccer, fall sports of football, field hockey, volleyball, whatever it is. So yeah, we're gonna share those with you when we see him. Greg Sankey's the SEC commissioner. He had a big press conference yesterday. Big talk to Paul Feinbaum. The SEC will not make any decisions about anything until late July. Well, here we are on the 14th, so that's what? Give them 2 more weeks on that? Okay. They'll be watching closely to whether COVID-19 cases and hospitalization trends improve. Some of the places in the SEC footprint are a lot different than perhaps in the Midwestern footprint. And they wrapped up by saying, well, they didn't wrap up, but this is just part of an annotated, the Big Ten and Pac-12 scheduling decisions will not impact theirs. No, they shouldn't. You can do anything you want. That's exactly right. And the other part was, got to get it you got to be smarter. You got to wear your mask. You got to do all the stuff that goes along with that. So we can have football. Some communities have resulted to fining people. Some people have threatened football not happening.
Right.
We don't care as long as the message gets through. What are we missing this week, T? Just for you. It's the final stage of the Tour de France. T is for tour. T is for T. And the MLB All-Star Game. You know where that was going to be this year? Chavez.
Oh, that's right.
So that would have been tonight. I think we were a week early.
Well, by now, the Dodgers, if they had the season, actually, they would have had a 12 to 13 game lead.
Oh, at least. So, at least.
So it wouldn't have mattered.
Yasiel Puig is going to be a Brave, it says here, shortly. All right, Miles Turner is a sharp cat. We know that. Miles Turner, after the George Floyd murder, said he was going to take some time to get his head straight. He has, and all the Pacers are up and running in Orlando. That's the good news. Everybody's in the bubble, T, and if you've seen any of the ESPN reports, the reporters are showing you kind of what they have to go through on a daily basis of getting there. Rachel Nichols was funny on The Jump the other day. She said, here I am. Here's where I'll be for the next however many days. That's what it takes to get in there.
Yeah.
And
it
should be something where it is difficult because you're trying to keep this out and you're trying to get these games on television.
No, absolutely. And you know, you put that many people in a two or three different hotels, and then they're going to play in two or three different facilities. It's going to be interesting. So far, so good. What, only two tested since I got down there?
I think that's it.
Yeah, so that's a
Russell Westbrook tested, but he wasn't on the plane.
Exactly.
Yet, so that's good.
Yeah, and and then we also had two guys that kind of broke curfew, so to speak.
And didn't know that there was a curfew.
Yeah, there.
Well, you know what happens? The next time they do that, somebody told me it's $175,000.
Good.
Maybe again, will that get your attention?
Some of these guys, if they're at the minimum, it'd get my attention.
Exactly.
And there are guys there getting paid the minimum. They're not all the stars may be there, but there's other guys that aren't. And one guy that is, Miles Turner, as you mentioned, and he said on Twitter this afternoon, look, life in the bubble's not that bad. Now, granted.
It's what you make of it, isn't it?
So, yeah, he said, granted. He goes, some of these food choices are not what I would have picked if I were, you know, if I were cooking for myself or having someone bring me food. But all in all, it's not bad. The league has done us a solid. They are trying, and everything seems to be working.
And the league is also, once this settles in a couple of weeks, will open up restaurants like Morton's and Ocean Air, all owned by the Rockets owner, interestingly enough. that's true. It's absolutely true. The list of the high-end restaurants, so that is going to happen.
Great.
But they have to get to a point where they can get to that point. Mm-hmm. So, again, sacrificing the meals you want to eat to make the rest of your salary. Now, Miles gets paid $20 million a year, too. So if he doesn't choose to play, he's going to lose out like Victor would in that $3 million range. So they're not getting – and let's be clear about something, because I know people hear headlines and they don't read into the details. They're not getting Chef Boyardee.
Oh, no.
They are not getting Manwich. They're not getting Swanson's TV dinners, the things I like to eat. They're not getting those.
But they are getting stuff in styrofoam boxes that you can reheat, or maybe that's just the reporters.
That could be.
Anyway.
But I doubt they're serving it on fine china.
No.
I doubt they're having.
And this is just the first couple of weeks, people. Then it's going to break
if
up
you
a
have,
little bit.
If you have four teams in a hotel or whatever, you would hope. And the NBA's got a lot of money. I don't know if they got NFL money. They got a lot of money in the NBA. You're not going to have. You're going to have mass prepared food, not chef plated food. And I know that's hard for some. And But again, if you want to forego your $3 million to go home and eat what you want, those are your choices.
Yeah.
And I don't think those choices are terribly, terribly hard to make. And the guys that broke curfew were doing what? Going to get some real food.
Yes, they were.
That's the irony to all this.
I bet they were both.
What are you breaking curfew for?
Both moms.
I'm starving!
Anyway.
That's funny. Whatever. But Miles Turner
good by
is
Miles.
Right.
I mean, he's making the best of it. And said they're doing a great job, and they're doing the best they can. I'm okay with it. And that's a mature response.
That is fun. During the 11-game stretch, just before the All-Star break, when we were playing basketball, remember that? Basketball?
Yes.
Round, put the pumpkin in the put the pumpkin, as Clark calls it. Put the biscuit in the bat. Sabonis and Turner combined to average 31, 20, 6 assists, and 3.5 blocks. Well, that's not bad, is it? In the final three games, this is according to the Pacers, before the season was suspended, wins at Chicago, Dallas, and a home court loss to Boston, Sabonis and Turner combined to average 40, 22, 6.5, and 4. Hot, baby. That's why we want Victor back.
Yeah.
That's why we want Justin Holiday down there.
Keeps the floor spread, keeps room for everybody to roam.
Keeps
I like it.
The East on their toes. I bet the happiest people in the East when this came out were Boston, maybe Philly, maybe Miami. I mean, I don't know if Giannis cares. Giannis is pretty good.
No.
He's pretty good.
I mean, we beat them the last time we played them.
But they didn't have any – they were missing three guys, too.
They were missing some guys. You know, look, the Philadelphia knows the Pacers can beat them. Miami's talks a good game because they had one game where they talked a lot of smack. And
you know whose practice floor is right next to the Pacers?
Well, it's Miami's.
The Heat, baby.
And Jimmy Butler likes to talk, and I hope T.J. Warren goes for 40 on him.
Jimmy Butler's a good player.
Yes,
though.
He is. No, he's a very good player.
He's a mercenary, but he's a good player.
Boston is a little hard for us to match up against.
Yes.
I don't fear Toronto in the least, but for some reason, the Pacers throughout the playoff career and also during some regular season games, they struggle with Toronto.
Has some atrocious losses to
yes,
Toronto.
They have.
Up 15 with 6 minutes
this
to go
year,
or whatever
yeah,
it was.
That was one
if
of
I
those.
Can, if I can remember those, that's bad.
But
the Pacers' best five-man group over the season's first 65 games, including those that weren't together for at least 50 minutes, were the ones consisting of Sabonis, Lamb, Holiday, McConnell, and McDermott. They're talking about the bench. That group outscored opponents by 18 points per 100 possessions. That's why you want Victor to play, so the bench can be the bench.
Top five bench in the league.
You don't have to shuffle into again, your rotations get messed up if Oladipo's not playing there. So this is why it's important. This is why $20 million guys can't sit out. You sign $20 million guys because you're hoping to make some noise. So that's the good news. And everybody that said Sabonis and Turner wouldn't work out, I think you just got that one wrong. I've been wrong before. I didn't think Victor Oladipo could shoot in college. He didn't shoot enough three-pointers for me to see that coming. That has changed. And I've said I'm wrong. Victor Oladipo is a fine three-point shooter. He has blossomed into one. But the people that are looking for excuses not to have Turner and Sabonis work, if your excuse is going to be the Pacers did not go to the Eastern Conference Finals or win the Eastern Conference Finals, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. It's dumb. They have a guy, a big, who averages almost 5 assists a game and gets a ton of rebounds. And they have a big who knocks down threes, leads the league in blocks.
Yeah.
Well, that's a pretty good combination. You know what those sound like? Basketball players.
Exactly.
Sound like basketball players. Rudy Gobert can't leave the paint. That gets a lot of rebounds. Can't leave the paint. Gets everybody sick with
Corona,
that's
too. Why Sabonis blossomed. The Pacers put him back to where his natural position
again.
Is. And Oklahoma City wanted him to shoot threes.
Well, the other part of this is Miles Turner learned to shoot a perimeter jumper and allowed Sabonis to work more comfortably in that position. That's the good
Love
news.
It. Love it.
And that's why you want. It sounds like a recording, but it's true. This is why you want Oladipo to play. He completes it. He's the last piece of the puzzle, and the Pacers, I don't think, can make that leap And you know what? They can also lose with Oladipo. I'm not saying that they're going to go to the conference finals, but if you gave me two choices, T, it's not bad if you have that guy.
We'll take him.
With you. Here's the good news. Here's the bad news. Brogdon's not practicing. What's wrong with him? He hasn't participated yet. He must be on the end of his quarantine. Was that 2 weeks? I'm not sure what that is. That's it. So, again, hopefully he doesn't gets back into the swing of things quite quickly. All right, we need to hit Network Indiana News after a quick timeout. And then T's going to TBT us. Throwback Thursday? Oh, no, 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 no. That's the basketball.
That's the basketball tournament.
The basketball tournament is at the Ohio State University. Is that true?
Well, it's one of the other. It's downtown. Let's put it this way.
Gotcha. We'll hear all about it with some former Hoosiers next. 5:52 at WGCL. Glass in the afternoon. You got a championship basketball game tonight? Is that what you're telling me?
Live.
Live?
Live basketball at 7 o'clock.
What is the channel of choice here?
That would be ESPN.
The large,
the worldwide leader in sports.
There you go. And this is the basketball tournament. Some people will get that confused with Ice Cube's 3-on-3 deal. That not the case. These are here's how you remember this. There was a team a few years ago. It was like Sheehy and Halls and
Watford played.
Zeller put up the money for him or something and helped out with it because he was a pro. He couldn't play
play.
The NBA guys aren't allowed in these tournaments, so it's guys who have played in the league, and it's guys that have played. For example, we were talking last week when we were on the air. There was a Purdue team, a Syracuse team. So you get some of these alumni factions going on. But this really isn't IU alums. These are guys that played here in the beginning of their careers and finished somewhere else. Tell me who I'm looking for tonight.
Well, tonight the Golden Flashes, which is former Marquette players, play the Sideline Cancer Group, which features Mo Creek and Remy Abel. I won't say features, but they're two of their – Abel's their sixth man. Mo starts all the games. This team was seeded 22.
Out of how many?
24.
Oh.
And they're in the championship game.
This is like – well, it wouldn't be Hoosiers.
It's not quite that intriguing, but it's close. They have hit, out of the game so far – 4 Elam ending shots to win.
How often can you go to that well? Well, that's all.
I mean,
to be honest, though, that's the only way these games do end. You do have to hit a shot.
Whoa. I'm talking about games where if the other team hits a shot first, they win.
So you're down to the last.
I'm down to the last point or two.
For instance, Last Chance Saloon.
Remy Abel.
Weren't they down 16 or something late in one of these games?
Yeah, they came back from way down just the other day. They were down 10 at halftime Sunday against Overseas Elite, who had won this thing 4 years in a row.
You get $1 million if you win.
Yeah.
How many guys on a team?
About 8.
Yeah, I wouldn't think two more.
No.
You don't want to give up that.
And Sideline Cancer also donates part of their monies. Each of these guys gets $75,000. Most other teams are getting $100,000, $105,000, whatever. But so far, Abel hit a 3 when they were down 1 at the Elam ending and won it for them in one game.
Boom.
This little point guard named Marcus Keene, he's 5'9", he played at Central Michigan. He's hit an Elam ending shot, if not 2. Sunday, they're down 62-61. The target score is 67. He comes down, hits a 3, 64-62. So Overseas Elite comes down. They have ISO Joe Johnson. Yes, folks.
That Joe Johnson?
That Joe Johnson.
42 years young.
Who's had 18 years in the NBA and had probably had 20-plus in that game. They ISO Joe down the middle. He gets and one, a three-point play. So
uh-oh.
It's 65-64. Sideline Cancer comes down, miss a shot. They go down, and you know they're going to Joe. Joe gets the ball in the middle of the floor, drives in, gets his shot blocked. Sideline Cancer comes back down. Marcus Keene making moves in the lane, and you're thinking, this little guy's just going to go in and win it. 65-64. No. He makes a move. He gets knocked away. He throws it to Creek. Creek has a shot fake. He takes one dribble left. A screen
step back.
Rises up and step hits back. A three, 67-65. So the sideline cancer guys playing the championship tonight. Creek had, I mean, he wasn't really hitting too much up until he hit two threes in the fourth quarter late, and then he hit the game
winner. Who's going to win tonight?
I can't go against sideline cancer can't the way they've been playing right now.
7 o'clock.
We'll
on
see.
ESPN?
7 o'clock on ESPN.
Come back Friday. Big Show Friday.
I'll be here.
Happy Hour Friday. Novak's back tomorrow. Have a great, great Tuesday night.